John 14, verses 1 through 24. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he heareth is not mine, but the Father's which sent me.
The first 14 verses in John 14, clearly show Jesus' tender love and preparation in his time and devotion to his dear followers. His love is so easily seen. Can you see it? Can you see him caring? Can you see him providing? Can you see that he is going to leave? He tells Holy Spirit as a comforter. So the first 14 verses show us Jesus' love for us. Now we ask, do you love me? Our love is seen in the way we value His commandments. In John 12:50, it says, and I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. That was John 12:15. Now John 15:14. Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Remember Amos 3:3? Can two walk together except to be agreed? He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him truly or verily is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, God, ought himself also so to walk, even as He, Jesus, walked. That word keep is a watch, not like when you rest. It's to keep a watch, like not on my watch. To guard from loss or injury. So we want to guard His commandments from loss or injury properly by keeping our eye upon them. We don't want to lose them from our heart. I'm just going to leave it there. He says, if you love me, He says, do you love me? Our love is seen in the way we value His commandments. Psalm 55:19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah, or think about that. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. That word fear means to revere. It's one of the meanings of that. Fear means to feel deep respect or admiration for God. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear or revere not God. Our life needs to change.
Amen.
Our thoughts need to change. Our ways need to change. And yet God loves us 100% right now. He's not disappointed. He's not mad. He's not in a hurry. He's not anxious. He doesn't love us more when we do better, but His love is richer. We get to experience His love more. We get to fellowship with Him more. There are people in our lives that when they are reading the Word and the walk of God, they call us at most of the time. And when they are not, when their life is all self-focused and they're far from God, they don't want to be around us. They don't want to hear. Well, that's what it is with God. God divine, you mean Him. When we are walking with Him, we are valuing His ways and His thoughts. We want to read His Word. We want to treasure them inside of us. John 21:15-17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Brother Harvey, why are you asking, do we love God? You know I love God. Jesus saith unto him, then feed my lambs. Jesus saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. People get grieved when we ask the same questions. Because God's trying to go deeper. God's not about the surface. God's about the heart and the spirit. Yeah. And he said, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I wonder what's involved with feeding sheep or feeding lambs in what Jesus meant. I wonder if that means take up your cross and follow me. I wonder if that means follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I wonder if that means God has a call when it's life, and that call is to be others minded and to help others. He says, if you love me and want to be with me and want me to be with you, is that what you want? Do you love him and want to be with Jesus and want Jesus to be with you? He says, guard, keep, treasure, stay focused on my commandments. Treasure my thoughts and my ways. He said, you want to abide in me, continue with me, and me continue with you, then treasure my thoughts and my ways. And you and I and the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit from God, will live together in peace and fullness and joy and power together, all of us together in my presence. Doesn't Isaiah 26:3 say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee? Have you ever memorized that? Love can be received and given. Love is reciprocated. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. When Sue and I say, I love you, and she goes, I love you, I always say, I love you first. Because she didn't love me first. She didn't even like me. But God wanted me to marry her anyway. He told me, this is who you're supposed to marry. So he just, okay, then I put my love upon her. Love is reciprocated. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. No man can come to Jesus except the Father which has sent Jesus draw that person. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God initiates. Love is reciprocated. Reciprocated means we give back from what we've received. We can give love back. receive the love of God?
Through the substitutionary death of Jesus for you personally. Romans 5:8. But God commended, God showed, God demonstrated his love toward you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you, us. There is always an object in love. That is, the object is where our love is directed. Our focus, that is the focus of our life, can be seen in how we spend our time and energy, and especially our money. What we truly love, or are focused on, is easily known by what we talk about. That is, what our heart is consumed with and values. Luke 6:45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, or what he stores up in his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What comes out of our mouth came from our heart. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. I have a whole list of sad verses in the Bible, and this is in them. God is not in all his thoughts. I'm amazed at God being in my thoughts all the time when he was not prior to me knowing Jesus. I just had a man tell me this week, Friday, he is just lit up with Jesus. And he said, no. He said, he keeps saying, no. It's all because of you. And I go, oh, it's all because of Jesus. He said, yeah, but until I met you, he said, this didn't happen. And I said, so when did you meet God? He said, well, I've always believed in God. He said, and I gave him this little study, New Testament, with 15 master outlines. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, witnessing, prayer, church, and it's just teachings, but if you're reading one and it flips you to another, it tells you to go to another page, and he's been doing this, and he is just coming undone. And what he said was, and what God brought to me, because I've been dealing with him for several months. And as we were talking, what God showed me was, I said, all your life you had a God consciousness when you believed in God. He said, yeah, when I was doing wrong, every time I did wrong, I would go to my bedroom and get on my knees and I would say, God, please forgive me. He said, I said, but you had no power, no victory in your life. He goes, no, I did. I said, that's because you believed in God, but you didn't believe in Jesus. Because when I met you, you didn't even know Jesus was God. You knew the name of Jesus, but you didn't know he was God. And the Bible says, no man, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father. You cannot come unto God except through Jesus. Wow. And God showed me this man for 40 years, whatever it was, whatever it is, I'm not exactly sure. This man believed in God. But he was on his way to hell. And he lived hell. And he had no victory. And he had no peace. And he had no God. But he had a consciousness of God. And I shared with him Acts chapter 10. I said, go read Acts chapter 10. I said, you were an Acts chapter 10 person. You were walking in the light you had. But God had to send a messenger in your life to present the gospel, the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so you could meet God. All those good things, you still did not have God. You just had a consciousness of God. What we truly love, or are
are focused on is easily known by what we talk about. That is where our heart is consumed with the values. The life of the body, I'm sorry, did I tell you Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 to 24? I just did. Okay. The life of the body is the eye. Think about it. When your eyes are shut, you're in darkness. The light of the body is the eye. Just so you know, this morning I got that revelation. I'm like, I never got that before. You would think that's so simple. But I kept always wondering, what does that mean, Lord? I didn't know. I had all these ideas that I thought about in my brain, but today I had a revelation. When your eyes are closed, you're in darkness. Your eyes are open, you receive light. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or single focused, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil or focused on evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. He says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because we're either living in the light or living in darkness. Doesn't it say 1 John chapter 1 verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with them and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. All of this was to get to our message. Are you ready?
Sure.
Love always has an object. Do you understand? Love always has something that is directed toward. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. Exodus 20, by the way, is where the Ten Commandments are. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity or the perversity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Love always has an object. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. There are three kinds of love, basically. If we have self-love, then we are focused and motivated based on ourselves. What I think, what I feel, what I want. Number two, if our love is directed toward another person, I remember witnessing to a man back in 1978 named Mike, last name started with an H. I led his brother Gary to the Lord, but not Mike. And one day Mike said, I love my wife more than anything or anyone. And if God wants me to love him first, well, I won't, because I love my wife first. She is my number one love. So number two, if our love is directed toward another person, then our motivation comes as we focus on them. What do they think? What do they want? And what they feel? Number three, and if our love is focused on Jesus Christ, then we are motivated by what Jesus said. What he feels, what he thinks, what he wants. We always want to please the one that is being loved. We always want to please the one that is being loved. Whether it's self, another person, or our God, Jesus Christ. A simple dictionary definition of God is, what is number one in your life? Our primary love and focus becomes our God. Our choice defines what truly is our God. Hence, our Creator and Lord said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, 1 Corinthians 8:3. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Why? Because you can see it in his choices. Does anybody have anything to say at this point? I have. I think it's called a prologue. The thing at the end. Okay. I don't know all these fancy words, but I got this stuff written out because God was giving it to me like this. You ready? Anybody have anything to say? Do you understand? God initiates by telling us all this way. He's loving us, providing for us, including us in his plans, letting us know where he's going, letting us know that where he's going, he's doing it for us. He's going to his Father's house and preparing a place for us. He doesn't want you to worry or fret. While he leaves, he's going to give us another comforter, and that comforter's going to end up coming to live inside of us.
Such a difference in his life, he said, is he said, you
taught me that he said, at any moment of the day, that I just glance over my shoulder in a conversation or a circumstance, it is the Father smiling. He says, I just want to keep Daddy smiling. And as long as Daddy's smiling, everything's okay. Because when he's not smiling, you lose the smile in your heart. So what are you choosing? Okay. Jesus' life demonstrates what obedience to our Heavenly Father is meant to look like. What is our perspective of keep my commandments and the word obedience? Obedience to God is choosing to live a lifestyle of love and devotion to our God. Jesus says in John 15:9-10, as the Father hath loved me, as the Father loved me, so the same way have I loved you. Continue you in my love or our love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide or remain in my love. So now what are you going to do? Stay in his love? Sorry?
Yeah.
You want to stay in his love? Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I stay in his love. Jesus demonstrated this for us. Too often we miss the heart of God when he calls us to obedience. Jesus illustrates here that he lived his life reciprocating the love that he was shown by his Father. He lived his life in obedience to God out of the wealth of relationship he had, not out of obligation. And Jesus simply asked us to do the same thing. He invites us into the process of receiving and giving love as the foundation of our life, that we might abide in the depth of relationship with our Heavenly Father as he did. Our God doesn't call us to a lifestyle of obligation or undesired sacrifice, but a lifestyle in which we reciprocate the vast love that we've been shown in Christ. God doesn't merely set rules before you, but relationship as the goal. Father is after your heart, totally and completely. God pours out his unceasing, selfless love, which has the power to transform us into children who abide in our Heavenly Father. If we will choose to abide in God's commandments and love wholeheartedly, we will experience the abundant life only those who abide in God can obtain. So abide in God's commandments today. Choose to live a lifestyle of wholehearted love toward God and others. Choose to live in obedience to God in response to his amazing love. And discover the power, purpose, and freedom that comes from ministering to others with the very love you've been shown in Christ. May we choose to live a lifestyle of love, and may our prayer be like that of the psalmist in Psalm 119:32-35. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads me, I will follow him.
And it might be important for us to realize that Jesus was not a robot, mindlessly doing because his Father didn't need him. He chose to watch his Father, listen to his Father, and he chose to say what his Father said, he chose to do what his Father on strings at the same time. And that's the perfect obedience to Christ's covenant of the first Adam. What do you think?
That's why we need to, you know, he said in John, where is it? John 10, 5 times he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Romans 8:14, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 John 2:27, you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing that you receive. John 16:13, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. He lives inside us, and so often we think keeping his commandments is keeping a bunch of rules of doing and don'ting. And what it is having a constant focus on the Father, that I want to be with him. Focus on Jesus. I want to be with him. Focus on the Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to you. We have all put rules on ourselves. I can't this, I have to that. It's not what God's talking about. He's talking about what we please him. So we ask him questions. I don't know about you, but probably for 40 years, almost every day, if not every day, usually several times a day, I'm saying, what else do you want me to see? What is it you want me to understand? What is it you want me to do different than what I'm doing? Often, I get a blank. And sometimes I'm beating myself up and saying, am I doing something wrong? Why aren't things going the way I thought they were going to go? Have you ever done that? Thank you for the honest question. And I say, Father, am I doing something wrong? You know what he says to me so often? Nope. You're doing exactly what I want to do. And when I'm not doing what he wants, when I'm not thinking the way he wants, when I'm not treating others the way he wants, isn't he faithful to let us know in a very kind but definite way? When he takes away our peace, because it's not that he took away our peace, it's that we walked away from the peace of God. But when we lose our peace, when we lose our joy, when we find ourselves stop and go, okay, Lord, what is it? He takes us back to basics. Does he not?
Yes.
And isn't the basics your thoughts and your ways are not right? And though you have this impending doom and gloom hanging over your head through the whole book, through the whole Old Testament, I came and satisfied judicial requirement and made the propitiation, the satisfactory payment to remove that middle wall partition between you and I, to satisfy the sin debt in a legal court by paying for it in full in your place. I did everything for you, and I'm right here. And when you turn to me simply and say, Jesus, this is the truth. Angry, I'm mad, I'm disappointed, I want to rip this person's face off. Be honest. Quit doing the socially polite thing. Quit trying to do that Christian thing you think you're doing. Be real. God, this is the truth. This is how I'm thinking and this is how I'm feeling. But God, it is wrong, even though I feel like it's true. And if I focus on the other person, but they hurt me and they lied and they, then I'm just entering into that kingdom. shame of pride in joining with the accuser of the brethren. Have you ever read the first two chapters of Job? And while the sons of God presented themselves before the Father, Satan came among them and began to accuse Job and accuse God. Have you ever read, I believe it's Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, where it says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? Whenever you find yourself accusing, or you hear anybody else accusing, they are of and in league with, in agreement with, the enemy of our souls. They are in agreement with them, letting the devil live through them. They are not in the presence of God.
Believe in you?
Oh, yes.
he's fighting? Do you want the devil's fighting in your life? Okay, it comes back to it. I didn't make all this stuff up. I couldn't fit this together if I tried. But it comes back to our focus, his presence.
Love.
You can put this in your hands.